we pray that you would accept these prayers from our hearts today, and you would bless us this Christmas and throughout the year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do sit down, please. I don't know what the singing sounds like where you are, but it sounds pretty good up here, I can tell you. So I want to ask you a question to reflect on, and let me say in advance that the answer is not, repeat, not Jesus, okay? I know the answer to the vicar's questions, particularly on Christmas Day, is always Jesus, but not today, okay? And the question is simply, what is Christmas about? The answer is not Jesus, okay? Let me ask it in a slightly different way. What are we looking for from Christmas? What do we do at Christmas? We make plans to get together with those closest to us. We contact the friends we won't see by sending them cards or something else. We go to parties and we celebrate. We give presents to the people closest to us. We give money to charity. And on Christmas Day we come together and we feast. We don't just eat, we feast, don't we? It's a special, joyful time. Charles Dickens, described in a current film title as the man who invented Christmas, wrote this early in his career before A Christmas Carol. He said, "Christmas time, the man must be a misanthrope indeed, in whose breast something like a jovial feeling is not aroused, in whose mind some pleasant associations are not awakened by the recurrence of Christmas." Dickens said that Christmas is not just an excuse for a party. No, it's a vision of how life ought to be, he said. It's a vision of how life ought to be. This is some wrapping paper that we happen to have in the house. I didn't buy it specially. And you can see that written all over it is the word joy. Tidings of comfort and joy, we say. We're looking for something at Christmas that's deeper than just enjoyment, and deeper than just eating and drinking and having a good time, aren't we? We're looking, I suggest, for a glimpse of joy. And the reason we're looking for that, I think, is because that's how we're made. We are created to seek fulfillment and happiness. The great French thinker Pascal wrote that man wishes to be happy and cannot wish not to be. All people, he said, seek happiness without exception. Whatever means they employ, they all tend to this end. So Christmas is about, in some sense, our search for joy and fulfillment. But of course we know at the same time that joy is elusive in this world. We glimpse it and it's gone. William Blake said you have to kiss it as it flies because it's so hard to get a grasp on. And we know how quickly Christmas passes, don't we? People talk about the 5 o'clock feeling. You've had all this food that you've been preparing for so long, it was all great, and yet somehow it's passed so quickly and there's an empty feeling that comes upon you. We know there's a danger of arguments and tensions in families at Christmas because there's such pressure for everything to be perfect. And we know all that stuff about January being the busiest time for divorce lawyers. So Christmas is telling us something important about our longing for joy and yet also about how hard it is to satisfy that desire. We can't just live for today. We can't just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, as Paul puts it. We need some sort of bigger story to make sense of our lives. One contemporary writer said, "Our modern world has lost its story. We once thought that life had a purpose, that there was something to live for, that there was hope for an answer to the suffering in the world. But many people now say none of those things are true." And so there's an emptiness lying just under our enormous material prosperity. We need a story to make sense of who we are. J.R.R. Tolkien knew a bit about stories, and he said the mark of a satisfying story is what he called a eucatastrophe. The moment where, despite the sorrow and the difficulty, joy breaks through. The story doesn't deny that life is difficult, that there are all sorts of problems, but it says that's not the final answer. Catastrophe is a Greek word for a dramatic, world-changing turn. And a eucatastrophe, eu means good in Greek, is a turning point for good, when evil is defeated, when there's escape from death, and hope and goodness triumph. And we find stories where that happens supremely satisfying, because somehow we sense that that is how life ought to be. Well, Tolkien said that the birth of Jesus is the eucatastrophe of human history, the turning point for good. It's interesting, just in the readings we had today, and right through the way the Bible tells a story, you get these little flashpoints of joy. When pregnant Elizabeth meets pregnant Mary, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy at the arrival of the unborn Jesus. The shepherds are told by the angels, "We bring you tidings of great joy." The wise men are overjoyed when they see the star stop over the house. And Mary, it says, treasured up all these things in her heart. There's joy at the heart of this story. And of course the story ends 30 years or so later with the greatest eucatastrophe of all, the resurrection of Jesus, the moment when cosmic victory is snatched from the jaws of defeat. Tolkien said there is no story ever told which people would rather find true. I suggest to you that that story in a world that has lost its story is the story that makes sense of our lives and who we are. So go back to my question, what is Christmas about? Well, I think it's about an ineradicable longing in our hearts for joy, for something that makes life really worthwhile, that turning point for good, where death is defeated and hope triumphs over all the struggles of this world. Now, my very important last point, the reason I believe this story and left a proper job to do this funny job as a vicar, is not because I want it to be true. There are lots of things I want to be true that ain't going to happen. Charlton are not going to win the Champions League in the next 5 years. Wishing for something doesn't make it so. No, the reason I believe it's true is because I've looked hard at the evidence, and it is compelling and persuasive evidence. Evidence that this is the true story, the real story, that makes sense of all those other stories that we tell. So all I can say today is check it out. Email me, ask me questions, take one of these Gospels at the back, because that is where you read the first-hand accounts of the eucatastrophe, of the coming of Jesus. There's also a lovely little book for small children which tells the Christmas story, and they're all free at the back, so do take one. If you want more than a quickly fading joy at Christmas, then I suggest that is the place above all where you need to look. So we're going to use these responses that you'll see on the service sheet and on the screen as we just think about Jesus with us. God is not distant or far off. He's come to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us.